good, a pretty good group defensively. So I've been impressed watching them. Jacksonville's done a good job of taking care of the ball recently. Not many turnovers. And, I lost a couple tough games in overtime. Three overtime games. But very competitive football team. And, in spite of their record, I think that really means anything. Just watch them on film there. Pretty competitive. Everybody certainly did Miami. And that game was a lot closer compared to Cates as well. So, we're underway on these guys.
After two highly hyped games against teams leading their division and the Texans and the 49ers, obviously facing a team in last place, and as you just mentioned, they're more competitive than the record indicates, but how do you approach this with the players to hopefully have them avoid what could be a mental letdown based on, you know, this team obviously not at the top of their division at 2-12?
Yeah, well, we don't talk a lot about records. We just don't do it. We talk about Houston's record or San Francisco's record or Jacksonville's record. It doesn't really mean anything. What we do is we look at our opponent and try to analyze their strengths and things that we have to do to be competitive against them and the areas of weakness that we feel like we can attack. You know, whatever their record is, doesn't really matter. Those are against other teams. We didn't have anything to do with those games. It's how we match up against them. So all our preparation and focus will be on what Jacksonville does well, what we need to stop, and where we think we might be able to gain some advantages or have opportunities, and how we can hopefully exploit those. But that's really the way we approach every game. So I think what the team record is, it's really very important.
For you, as you sort of plan to address the team when they come back in, how much do you consider just in general human nature? The idea that, you know, some weeks there are probably going to be some games that for players they're maybe easier to get up for based on the level of competition, and then others it might be a little bit tougher.
Like I said, Mike, we'll address it pretty much the way we usually do. Break down Jacksonville for what they are, the team that they are, and what they present, which are numerous, just like we have everybody else. I think the players won't have any trouble seeing that. I mean, they'll watch Shorts, they'll watch Blackman, watch, you know, the backs. They'll watch the pass rush, David, Knight, Vincey, those guys. They know Aaron Ross, Cox, Harris, Lowry. All those guys that we've played against before, and they've all given us trouble individually. Some are with different teams, but some of them were when they were with Jacksonville. Juan Landry, physical safety, and Aaron Pleasant. If there's several guys on defense that we've played against before in other organizations that we know are good football players, plus guys like Mathis that have been there a while, and they know they're outstanding players in their own right.
The 53rd spot, you didn't fill it last week. Any thoughts on this week, how that will proceed?
That's something that I'll talk to Nick about today. We've had a couple preliminary thoughts on it, but nothing definitive. So we're both doing a little research and a little thinking and try to see where some of our players are relative to their availability this week. So we'll have that conversation probably later on this afternoon and meet with the coaching staff on it, figure out where we are. But as you know, we have to inactivate seven players anyway, so find a player at that position, then have to inactivate him.
Sure.
The gain on that's marginal. We would anticipate Jermaine returning to the team after this game, so we're going to need a spot for that if if he comes back and is activated and all that. I mean, I know it hasn't happened yet, but that's on the horizon, and we would need a spot for that. So one thing we've talked about is just leaving that spot open in anticipation of that happening. Fill it, have to reopen it, that type of thing. So we'll look at our options and try to do what we think is best for everybody involved here.
Yeah, Coach, Maurice Jones-Drew hasn't played in quite some time, but there's a possibility of his return. What does he bring to the table, and are you preparing as if he would be playing?
Yeah, sure, Karen. Well, we definitely have to be prepared for him to play. I think we all know what type of back he is. So it'd probably be good if he waited one more week. I'm sure he could use a few days of rest before he comes back. But great speed, balance, strength. He's got a low center of gravity, kind of built like Ray Rice with, you know, great lower body strength, hard to knock off his feet, real good balance, good vision, can accelerate through the hole, excellent hands, good coming out of the backfield. Jennings is a very explosive player himself. He can really, again, accelerate through the hole. He's got good quickness and elusiveness in the secondary. Owens has done a good job for him. So they've got a lot of good backs, fullbacks. They've got more backs on their roster than any team in the league. Must have like seven or eight of those guys. But you know, they all are affected. But I think, you know, Jones-Drew is certainly at the top of the, one of the top backs in the league, has been for a long time. And you know, he always gives us trouble. Even when you have him, you don't have him. He's already got to tackle and get on the ground, even if you play the play properly and have, you know, it looks like you're in position to defend it, it's still tackling, it's a problem. He gains a lot of yards after contact.
I was going to ask about the 53rd guy, Bill, but just on the fly here. This is the first time in a while that you guys have had 7 days or 6 days to prepare. Is there, I don't know if comfort's the right word, but is it nice to be back on the full-week schedule? Does that help your preparation, in your opinion?
I think it's definitely good to be back on a regular schedule. I think that all of us, players, coaches, just really everybody in the organization, you kind of get used to a routine, and you play on Sunday, and then you have that routine, and you play again on Sunday, so you kind of know where you're at on Wednesday, where you should be in terms of your preparation, where you are on Thursday, whether you're ahead or you're behind in that preparation, where you are on Friday in terms of getting things done and leading up to the game. And when you change that game time or game date, if it's an 8-day week or a 4-day week or a 6-day week or whatever it is, you're kind of trying to find your equilibrium there of where you are. So like last week, on Wednesday, we weren't at the same point that we usually would be on a Wednesday because I haven't played Monday night, those type of things. So I think it's good to be in a routine, and it's good to be playing from Sunday to Sunday. And so I think just for today on Tuesday as a coaching staff, we know where we normally are on Tuesday. And I think that, you know, in terms of our preparation, our targets of where we need to be, what we have to have done, we can be there, and then moving along to Wednesday and Thursday. And if we have an opportunity to gain a little ground and get ahead, then you can take advantage of that and really, know exactly what it is that you're ahead on, and how you can maybe better prepare for a situation for this particular game relative to some other game because of the problems that Jacksonville presents. So it is good to be on that.
Bill, I wonder if you could talk about Sebastian Vollmer and what you saw in him back when you drafted him that made you think that he could be who he's been. I don't think he went to the combine. Can maybe also talk about his evolution since.
Well, Sebastian was, an interesting player. He came from Germany, and initially there were one of the many questions about Sebastian. I mean, he didn't have a lot of playing experience. Played football in Germany and, you know, and all that relative to, you know, American high school football. So he didn't have a great background. He was a developing player at Houston and certainly made a lot of progress through his career there, but that an injury to deal with, that set him back a little bit, and he was just, I would say, in general, behind. The language barrier was something that we had to investigate. He played left tackle at Houston. And, you know, I would say based on his college film, if you just looked at the film, you wouldn't say you would draft this player in the second round. He just didn't have that kind of performance in college. But then he went to the East-West game, I think it was, and played right tackle at the East-West game. And I would say that game probably wasn't a second-round performance level either for a draft-eligible player. And, you know, I think some of that's reflected in the fact that, as you said, he wasn't invited to the combine, so which most second-round players would be. It's pretty unusual for a player taken at that point to not be invited to the combine. So some of the concerns were the left tackle, the right tackle, you know, really, what is he? Because he's really kind of, I think if you just look at the player, you would say he's probably more of a right tackle looking player than a left tackle, but that's what he played in college. So, you know, what position is he? You know, how can he adapt to a higher level and different techniques and learning and all that from a player that didn't have a great college background or even high school background in the game? There was certainly an injury concern based on his college career. And, you know, we wanted to make sure with the language thing that we could communicate with the player. Well, as we worked him out and got to know him, and all those things clear themselves up, language certainly is no problem. Sebastian's very, very smart, speaks several languages fluently. The rookie show, he did a part of his skit was in German, so nobody understood it, but was, you know, he's very, very quick-witted and you know, thinks quickly and adapts quickly and can really process information probably about as well as anybody can. And in going through the workouts with him and getting to see him athletically, he's has the kind of size, which is rare, size, strength, quickness, athleticism for his size. That's pretty special. And he's played both left and right tackle for us. Say his rate of improvement once he got to the National Football League was extremely fast. I think any of us really thought that he would contribute much as a rookie. Kind of saw him more as a developmental player that, you know, might take a while. But of course, he played quite a bit as a rookie year. Played against a lot of good players, you know, like Indianapolis and teams like that that had very good pass rushers, and he performed well. And so he learned quickly. He adjusted his techniques quickly to this level, and he's a very intelligent player that can make adjustments and handle things on the fly and all that. So different, but, you know, some similarities to Steve Neal, that type of a developmental player that developed very quickly and contributed very quickly. So,
thank you.
Long answer to a short question there.